Are you confused about what to do to get started on your path to preparedness? My book, Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook, is the number one all-time best-selling book ever on helping people become prepared or getting better prepared. Get a copy of my book. You can get it through Freedomizer Radio by going to makingthebestofbasics.com. Pick out what you'd like to buy. There are a number of alternatives. All Freedomizer Radio listeners can get it for one-half price, special offer. When you're ready to check out, go down to the discount code, type in present, because it's a present I'm making to you, and it'll automatically discount the price by 50%. Such a deal. And you can learn more by listening to Dr. Prepper, CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio talk show at Freedomizer Radio.
Did you guys know that there's no such state in the United States that requires shoes to be worn while driving a car? Did you also know that there is no such health code requiring shoes to be worn while going into a store or eating in a restaurant? And the thing is that most people think there are laws in relation to this, and this is about freedom. This is about your personal freedoms on what you choose to wear or not wear in this case. So Sierra Larson hosts the Barefoot is Legal show, where you can learn about health benefits, laws that don't exist, as well as more activism in relation to this. And most people in the U.S. are brainwashed. They think there's a requirement to wear shoes to do anything outside. So the whole United States wears flip-flops because they want to not wear shoes, but they think it's against the law. So Sierra Larson will teach you more on that. The show is on Saturdays, Barefoot is Legal Radio. That's 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific. That's 1:30 to 3 Eastern, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Paige.
Freak the sex machine. Freak, 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 you pressing me. Freak, 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 you sexy thing. Freak, 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 you sweating me. Skeet, 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 all energy. Skeet, 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 no testing me. The FCC is stressing me. Beat your meat incessantly. Better step back, I'm busting the ground. You are in the background, how does that sound? Send me the tracks, so
God, oh, so have you heard? She's dating him, he's slaying her. It's the truth, I swear. I heard it from a friend of a friend's girl. Don't dare tell anyone. He didn't hear from me, forget I said a thing. Spread through the grapevine, by cherry, yes, my. Welcome home to the covers and headlines. Someone told a secret, we're keeping him fed. You're just being used to them whispers, your closest friends. Oh, there goes the secret. Who started it? Who started it? Who started it? Who started it?
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Ancient of Days takes a look at history and the Bible in ways that you may not know from what you learned in school. Come join us Sundays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on FreedomizerRadio.com. See you there.
Hello and welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio. I'm your host, Sierra, joined by my co-host, John. We are super excited to host this show this week. We have some awesome topics we're going to discuss. We're going to talk about the Lego Firewalk Challenge that's gone viral on Facebook, the awesome health benefits of going barefoot, and we're also going to discuss whether athletic shoes actually do you any good and how to fix the damage that they have done to your feet. So all exciting topics that we are going to have with you today. We're going to start off with our barefoot tweets, as always. Remember, if you want your tweet read on the air, use hashtag barefoot to have your tweet read on the air so that we can find it, or you can tweet me directly at Sierra Barefoot. So let's see what we've got for this week. Hopefully we have some active Twitter sphere people. Because last week we only had like four tweets. Leon says, just completed a 5.01-mile run. Forgotten how good running barefoot felt. Kevin Craggs said, beautiful day working, learning the importance of better footwork. Hashtag barefoot. And got a picture of him golfing barefoot, which is awesome. Love to see people branching out into sports where you don't typically see people barefoot. Megan Fullerton Lee says, barefoot backyard green grass kind of day. Lots of tweets about barefoot jewelry. It's all about feet, says, not going barefoot for one day without shoes. You can still participate and have the link where you can donate. For those who don't know, this week there was the Tom's One Day Without Shoes, where people went barefoot in awareness of people who don't have the opportunity to wear shoes. So that was on Thursday, I believe, the 21st. So kind of mixed feelings about Tom's, but, you know, they're trying to do good. David Soto. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I participate in every day without shoes.
Exactly. Yeah, my mom was talking to me. She's just like, did you know today's the World Day Without Shoes? And I was just like, no. I live every day without shoes. David Soto Jr. posted a picture of a bunch of sticky, thorny burrs and next to his foot. And he says, not fun. I was reading but decided to go for a walk and stepped on these things. not so fun. Barefoot Mo says, barefoot summer lifestyle is definitely my thing. Happy Victoria Day. That's a Canadian holiday. That was our long weekend, was last weekend. And kind of like Memorial Day, I don't know. But around the same time as the American Memorial Day, but it's in celebration of Queen Victoria's birthday. So that's our May long weekend. Barefoot Kent tweeted another article stating why barefoot is best and has a link to Yahoo's article that we covered a few months ago, seven reasons why you should consider adopting a no-shoes policy in your office. You can read that on the barefootislegal.org website. And our last one for this week from Jessica Sands says, I'm so glad it's the time of year I can just be barefoot all the time. Hashtag who needs shoes. Love it. We love hearing from other people about their barefoot experiences. So great that they are having a good time and a healthy time living naturally and in a free, open way with nature. So again, if you missed how to get your tweet right on the air, you can use hashtag barefoot so I can find your tweet, or you can tweet me directly at Sierra Barefoot, Sierra spelled S-I-E-R-R-A. We'll go ahead and jump right into our articles. John, do you want to tackle our Lego Firewalk Challenge?
The Lego Firewalk Challenge, sure. We've got a Lego firework. As Sarah was saying, this is something that's going viral. And it says, can I interest anyone in the Lego barefoot Lego firewalk? Yes, I think the majority of people who have done it and wandered aimlessly into a room in bare feet and stood on one of those little red bricks known as Lego hurts, doesn't it? Well, after a little play around on a Twitter, I came across this, and it's about a Lego firewalk, and it's for charity, just kind of like the Tom's thing in a way. They're doing it for charity, and it says, good question, Maria, why would anyone want to do this? It means you got to be one of those stupid people out there, or is it? Actually, it's an extremely cool idea, it says here, not because I like to see people suffer, but because I want anyone's feet or because I want anyone's feet damaged anyway, but because I think it's a great little event for raising a bit of cash for good causes. I mean, the foot-related charities events out there mainly involve people running a marathon in bare feet, groups of people getting together to do barefoot walks, the increasingly popular One Day Without Shoes, as Sierra just alluded to, and even firewalking events. Never tried that one. I think I'll hold off. Which are all, have you ever done that, Sierra?
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose. Just at Disney World, right?
Yeah.
Which are all, all limited to specific days, and all require lots of planning. Whereas with this, you just get a bunch of Legos and spread them out in a line across the floor, and get random members of the public to try it and walk across. Check out this article and see an example of how to already. The fireworks already been charity in the UK.
This article is broken. All About Feet.com link we will post in the Freedomizer chat room.
Yeah. And I guess I have mixed feelings on this. I mean, I don't know if we want people to associate going barefoot with pain. to me, it should be the opposite. And I think so many people do associate not even walking on Legos with pain, but just going barefoot with pain because they don't do it. Their feet are so cushioned and locked up and don't have the exposure to the outside world. So they feel pain just walking barefoot, period. And I think our challenge is to get them to build up their resiliency and see the true enjoyment, the true feeling of the different textures and temperatures that you can get from going barefoot.
Exactly. It's more than just an endurance challenge. I mean, when I first started going barefoot, I had a blog on a foot fetish site, and a lot of you know that, but I was young and naive and didn't really know what was sort of going on. But I would get people emailing me requests for basically endurance challenges, like, can you walk across some gravel and record it for me? And a lot of these things, it just seemed odd to me, like, okay, I walk on gravel every day, what's the big deal? You know, so I'd record it, post it on my blog. And, you know, after a while, I kind of realized that people who view going barefoot on extreme surfaces, or like a video of me standing on a hot metal doorstep in the middle of summer for 10 minutes, you know, that's not really the message that we want to be sending out, that, hey, look at me, I can endure pain, because that's not really what living barefoot is about. It's more so about enjoying the health aspects. And yes, your feet do become tougher, and you can, you know, walk on Legos or run across acorns on the ground, or like John, spend an entire day on hot Florida summer parking lot barefoot. But that's kind of a side thing. That's not the true purpose of going barefoot. Does that kind of make sense to you, John, what I'm saying?
Yes, it does. And not only, you know, it is the health thing, but it's not even the pain thing, it's the enjoyment of it. I don't know how many times down here in Florida it'll get very hot, and, you know, you'll walk from a car into a restaurant or into a, you know, store or something, and immediately when you feel that cool floor, it's just so refreshing. And, you know, other people are not getting that sensation at all. And you can almost tell by comments sometimes, because they're still miserable walking in. So, you know, they're missing out on the enjoyment part of it, too. I've always liked the temperatures and textures of things. You know, it just adds to an experience, you know, instead of just blindly going through something as a chore.
Exactly. And I love that you mentioned that you notice sensory things that people around you that are wearing shoes don't notice, because there's a grocery store near where I'm at that has heated tile floors. And I'm probably one of the only people that actually knows that from experience, because I stepped in the store in the winter and noticed, hey, the floor's really warm. I like this.
And they're good with?
Yeah, they're okay with barefooters.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a chain store, and this particular location is actually known for breaking a lot of the rules. So, I mean, maybe they officially don't allow barefooters, but they also don't officially give away plastic bags for free. They're supposed to charge for them, but they don't. So I like them. Small town with a chain store run by the people from the small town. Well, that's actually a convenient thing. Most grocery stores in Canada charge 5 cents per plastic bag to try to encourage you to bring your cloth bags with you.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Now I see. I never heard of that. Well, it depends on how you define that. But some people would think just going barefoot makes you a hippie. But one of the things you find out, and I was really amazed when I first really got active in the group, how many people from how many different types of lifestyles and different thoughts and, you know, different political persuasions, whatever you want to call it, there are. It's not the stereotypical just hippie, which I'm not saying I have anything against that at all, but that's, you know, not all it is. It's a full range of people.
Exactly. And when I use the term coming out loosely, but when I first came out as a barefooter, it was fall of 2010, and I was working at a restaurant in West Edmonton Mall, and my boss noticed one day that I was walking around outside the restaurant without shoes on, and he's just like, what is up with that? And like, it wasn't like threatening to fire me or anything or my job in danger, but he just, like, was curious. And then, you know, word got around to all the staff in the restaurant, and they started coming up to me, and they're like, so you're, like, some sort of new age hippie? Do you shower? Do you, like, shave your armpits? I'm like, just, like, I just like going barefoot. That doesn't have anything to do with being a hippie. And you're right. There's people from every group imaginable in these barefoot groups on Facebook. And there's so many of them. I'm part of, like, 15 of them myself. People just keep adding me. I guess they like me, which is good. But, like, at least once a week I get added to a new barefoot group on Facebook. I mean, there's so many options to choose from. The biggest one, of course, is Society for Barefoot Living. It was also one of the first. It's been around since the 90s, pretty much since the internet began. They've been on the internet, and they're now on Facebook as well. But there's so many different people in these groups, and it's impossible to lump us all into one category of hippie. I mean, we've got Christians, pagans, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, like anything you can imagine, atheists, agnostics. You know, it's not a religious thing necessarily. We've got, you know, stay-at-home moms, we've got people who work in offices, lawyers, college professors, and we've got, you know, people of every political affiliation imaginable. I support the Pirate Party, the national political party in Canada.
I'll have to look that up. I'm honestly not familiar with the Pirate Party.
I love them. they're kind of a fringe group. Kind of a fringe group. But I mean, just because going barefoot is associated with being a hippie doesn't mean being barefoot makes you a hippie. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about it out there.
That's for
that
sure.
Either it's you're a dirty hippie or beach bum or whatever.
Or people see an article that points to a health concern, such as hookworms, which there's a thread going on right now, and they don't understand, you know, that the ones that affect people are virtually non-existent. Ever since we've had indoor plumbing, that problem's went away, and the ones that are out there are mainly in animals, and even if they get in people, they can't survive, and they have to be ingested typically. They rarely could get through the skin, but even if they do, they can't survive. But you know, there's an article out there saying that you can get them from walking barefoot, and there's like 4,700 likes on it. So, you know, it's an uphill battle sometimes against.
It's a big misconception out there. Just like there's so many people that think there are health codes against going barefoot or laws against driving barefoot. There's so many myths out there. And yes, there has been one reported case of hookworm in the United States in the last 50 years that was associated with someone walking barefoot. One. And that's because they were walking barefoot in an area where there are a lot of homeless people who are obviously not using sanitary plumbing facilities.
And if I remember correctly, and I may not have my facts straight because it's been a while since I heard that, but didn't they have an immune deficiency as well?
I believe so, yes. You're much more likely to have problems with worms if you have some sort of immune compromisation.
So one case in the United States and an immune, you know, that's nothing.
That's in really 50 years. There's, you know, how many millions of people are there in the United States that walk barefoot and don't get hookworm? Well, like, yeah, it's a small risk, but, you know, you're at much greater risk of stubbing your toe, which causes about the same amount of damage as a hookworm does. If you do get hookworms, you just take deworming medication, and in 2 days, you're fine.
And that's
human
hookworm.
It's not even a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. For the animal ones, they're not going to live in you anyways. They'll get in and say, what have I done? I'm in the wrong place. I'm die.
Exactly. Animal worms vex humans. And if they do, they leave, because the human body is not a friendly environment for the hookworms that live in cats and dogs and such to be in. And they actually aren't strong enough to penetrate human skin. They can only get in either through ingesting it, like if you're a little kid playing in a sandbox that a cat has been using as a litter box, and then you put some of its fecal deposits in your mouth, and that if that's infected, that's a way you could get human hookworm. And it can infect your gastrointestinal tract. But in terms of, there was a picture that was, you know, like a cautionary tale picture, what I like to refer to as an urban legend picture of a hookworm in someone's eyelid. That's not a typical case. It typically will occur in your intestines.
And again, you mentioned it would be highly unlikely of going through a foot, and a barefooter even more so, because we build up our calluses. So, you know, it becomes even more unlikely of coming through a conditioned foot than somebody that doesn't go barefoot.
Exactly. So we are getting a lot of misconceptions, but hopefully we can dispel some of those myths.
And that is the challenge. There are so many myths out there. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about going into stores and restaurants, and not to stereotype anyone, but often there's entry-level people in there that really don't have a lot of knowledge or experience, and they're going off of myths and things like that. So that has to be considered as well.
Exactly. You know, well, and I read a quote yesterday that it said, the first thing that pops into your head is what you were conditioned to believe. The next thought that pops into your head is what you truly are. And so, I mean, a lot of us have been conditioned to believe that going barefoot is wrong, that it's illegal, that it's unhealthy, that it's you know, whatever, but it's not. And if you take a second to think about it, you realize, well, where is this law? There isn't one. You know, where's this law saying I can't walk into Taco Bell barefoot? There isn't one. They might have a sign on the door that says no shoes, no shirt, no service, what we would sometimes refer to as the NS3 rule, which is bogus and not rooted in law. And, you know, they do have the right to turn away customers for, you know, whatever reason they want. But I think that a lot of people see these, we don't want to serve barefoot customers, as, oh, the health code makes it illegal, which is not true.
Yeah, and also mentioning the health code, yes, they can turn away barefoot customers, but they cannot put by order of the health department or health code. I have read some stories where those have had to been removed when it's been challenged, you know, because it is not a law. It is not a requirement. It's not a code.
Exactly. I should probably bring that up to the restaurant near me that has no shoes, no shirt, no service, no rollerblades by order of health code.
Yeah, find that health code. Show me that health code. Yeah.
Yeah,
good,
exactly.
Good luck with that.
And
yeah,
I've gone in there barefoot plenty of times and never had any problems, because guess what? Not part of the health code. They can't say, oh, health code says you can't be in here, because it doesn't.
Right. And typically it's somebody working there going on a myth and have no, you know, one of the arguments I'll use on someone sometimes is you'll go into a place and if they say no barefoot, it's been a while since I had to do this, but, you know, and there's no sign on the front, but there's other signs that say no rollerblades or no smoking or no. I say, you know, with all the effort and expense that they put into putting those signs out front, do you think if they had an issue with bare feet, it would have been covered? You know, and the person just kind of looks at you, you know, and thinks about it a second sometimes. That's worked.
Exactly.
Because a lot of places.
When Sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I've actually worked in a restaurant that allowed me to work barefoot behind the counter, and so has my younger brother. And it's obvious that if that was a health code regulation, they would not have done it.
Well, that's fantastic.
So
I mean, you're not going to find
even
that
even employees
often.
Can do that. Well, like I said, small town, local owner.
I did read a story once on the same. It reminds me of one. You may have seen it out there. I don't know. Of a waitress in a small town restaurant that feet were hurting so bad, and she decided that's it, and pretty much told the owner, if I can't go barefoot, I'm not going to work. They allowed her to go barefoot, and her tips went up, and business improved, and it was quite a good story.
Well, that's not surprising to me at all that her tips went up and her business improved, because a happy waitress is going to be a better waitress. And if you're in pain
yes.
from these horrible, ill-fitting, uncomfortable shoes that are like just inflicting so much pain on you, and I've worked in the restaurant industry for pretty much my entire working life. I have seen so many injuries because of servers wearing high heels. I have attended to more sprained ankles due to shoes than any other injury, including cuts and burns from the kitchen. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it
shoes
really
are not
is.
Good for you. They're dangerous. And especially,
yeah.
it's especially bad when, you know, servers are required to wear at least 1-inch heels while walking all over a restaurant on slick floors and carrying trays. It's not safe. It really isn't.
And again, it's what we've been conditioned to.
Exactly.
You know, it always amazes me how people say that bare feet are not safe. I mean, how can something that's directly touching the ground with all of those, you know, muscles and bones and every ligaments and everything else that can react to every contour and change in surface be, that's going to be the safest thing you could do. Yeah,
exactly.
What's unsafe is somebody that's, you know, has shoes on. They have no input back to their brain what's going on underneath their feet.
Exactly.
It's
another quick anecdote from my life about the more tactile sensations in your bare feet being safer. The one time I was injured while walking on ice, it was winter 2011, I sprained my wrist from falling on the ice and catching myself with my wrist, and also got a hairline fracture on one of my metatarsal bones, the small bones in the wrist, and I was wearing shoes. But it was minus 30. I needed shoes on. I don't want to get frostbite. But every other time
cool.
that winter, I walked the same patch of icy sidewalk to my apartment. I didn't have a problem. I didn't fall. And even if I did slip, I was able to catch myself before falling.
Yes, very true. And again, they are a tool. So, yes, if it's too cold, that is a compromise you have to make and have to be more aware of the safety hazards of wearing them, too. But it is truly, you know, they should be viewed as tools, just like anything else we do. We don't put in earplugs all the time. You know, we don't put on safety glasses
hats.
All the time.
Yeah,
hard hats,
exactly.
You know, respirators, you know, all of these things we do wear when we're in conditions that require them. And,
exactly.
You know, it's just so amazing, you know, how, especially now with all of the information on the internet that's come out, I'm just amazed. When I first started going on, and Sierra, I think you can relate to this too, there was very little information out on the internet that was good. And now there's so much out there, so many positive stories about the health benefits, you know, other benefits just going barefoot. But yet it still doesn't seem to be sinking in yet, or not, you know, at a noticeable level.
Exactly.
But,
well, on that note, we do need to take an ad break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion and give you more information on the health benefits of going barefoot. So stay tuned for that.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge. before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
I'm Angie Morelli, and I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we are fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison, backed by corporations making us poison, and these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the March Against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because of us, because we will solve this as making demands as consumers first. Starting right now, we're going to boycott corn. This is all you have to do, is don't buy corn. Corn on the cob, corn in a can, corn in a mix at a restaurant, any visible kernels of corn. All we are asking for people to do right now is to boycott corn. This is going to be a clear, completely simple message that will definitely get back to its makers. We won't stand for poison. We won't stand for cronyism, and that is why we march against Monsanto.
Are we on the air? John, we're live on the air. Are you there? Looks like we're experiencing some technical difficulties on our end. Hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm going to go ahead and hop right onto our next article. The health benefits of going barefoot. John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me now?
But we were having some technical difficulties there.
Yeah, I was the one having the technical difficulties. It's not the system this time. It was me on my phone leaving on mute. So I did everything right on the blog talk radio part of it, but the phone I left on mute. So I do apologize for that. So we are back.
Right?
Yeah. So we are back. And as you were alluding
to, we've got an article here from mindbodygreen.com by Dr. Isaac Elias on the surprising health benefits of going barefoot. And it's kind of an interesting article. I really like the way they started out. Remember the guy in college who went barefoot anywhere? He may have seemed eccentric, but it turns out he was onto something. I was that guy in college who went barefoot everywhere. So I like that. It continues, walking barefoot, also known as earthing, has gone from being a kooky counterculture trend to a scientifically researched practice with a number of remarkable health advantages, such as increasing antioxidants, reducing inflammation, and improving sleep. Earthing means walking barefoot on soil, grass, or sand, or any natural surface. So we have to get off the sidewalk. Early studies are showing that the health benefits come from the relationship between our bodies and the electrons in the earth. The planet has its own natural charge, and we seem to do better when we are in direct contact with it. A review published in the Journal of Environmental and Public Health looked at a number of studies that highlight how drawing electrons from the earth improves health. In one, chronic pain patients used grounded carbon fiber mattresses, slept better, and experienced less pain. Another study found that earthing changed the electrical activity in the brain as measured by electroencephalograms. Also known as EEGs or EKGs. Those are scans that doctors do of your brain. If you have a seizure, they'll give you an EEG, EKG, same thing, different name, and check how your brain is working. Not EKG. EKG is for the heart, as one of my listeners just pointed out. EEG, sorry. EEG is brain, EKG is heart. Still other research found that grounding benefited skin conductivity, moderated heart rate variability, improved glucose regulation, reduced stress, and boosted immunity. All benefits that we would love to have, right? One particularly compelling investigation published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine found that earthing increases the surface charge of red blood cells. As a result, the cells avoid clumping, which decreases blood viscosity. High viscosity is a significant factor in heart disease, which is why so many people take blood-thinning aspirin each day to improve their heart health. Another study in the same journal will see endocrine and nervous systems. So why would you not want to go barefoot, right? And walking itself is healthy, reduces your cancer risk, improves cardiovascular health, moderates your weight, helps prevent diabetes, improves blood oxygenation, circulation, immune response, removes toxins, relieves stress. And that's just from walking with your shoes on. And then when you take your shoes off, you get all the added benefits of going barefoot as well. And yes, you can get the same exercise benefits from using an indoor treadmill at the gym, but if you're not outside, you miss on the mental health benefits that are proven to increase when we spend time in nature. For one thing, even if we enjoy it, going to the gym tends to be a chore. I mean, who here loves going to the gym?
Not me.
We have one listener that said, he does. None of the other listeners do. He's the oddball, apparently. But I don't love going to the gym. I bought a treadmill for when it's disgusting outside and I can't go outside. But, you know, going to the gym is just something you cross off your list. It's not something most people enjoy doing. On the other hand, walking in nature is about being in the moment rather than trying to achieve something. Even more importantly, we're surrounded by fresh, oxygen-rich air and beautiful scenery rather than gym smell and flat-screen TVs. Also, added bonus, no membership fee for going outside. Also, you're much less likely to encounter the weird naked people in the locker room that stand there with their junk hanging out when you're outside. Added benefit, yay. I've had way too many encounters with people who are way too comfortable with their body walking around naked in the locker room. And unless you're part of a nudist colony, which, you know, all power to you if that's your thing, but not mine. I'll stick to running outside. Thanks.
Yeah, we do have some in the group, so I'll stay a little careful with that one.
Yeah, there are nudists that are in the Society for Barefoot Living. And, you know, if that's what you're into, that's great. If you are one of those people that are super comfortable with your body and walk around naked in the locker room, you know, I'm happy for you. But I'll avert my eyes still, you know. Oh, I'd rather look at pretty wind going through the tree than other things.
I walk around naked from the ankles down.
Exactly. But walking itself is very important. You know, living barefoot just inside your house isn't going to be enough. You need to go outside because walking creates physical and emotional rhythms. Unlike running, which is higher impact, walking is gentle, it's nourishing, it gives us mental space to think. We have an opportunity to work out the day's events in our mind. In addition, even light strolls releases endorphins, and we can breathe more deeply. I'm just going to interject the article here. I'm training for a 5K, a very slow 5K, because I can only run like 3 miles an hour because I'm super slow. But I was out training for my 5K that's coming up in August. I was at the park a couple days ago. There's a beautiful park within walking distance of my house that's got running trails that go along a creek, and it's just a lot cooler. It's kind of down in a valley. And there was this elderly couple, probably in their 70s, that were keeping pace with me. And definitely is because they walk regularly. And I don't. Well, not until recently. So it's not just being barefoot, and it's not just exercising. It's a combination of the two. And yes, these older couple were wearing shoes, but they were doing the exercise, which most people kind of skip on. Just walking barefoot isn't enough.
That's true.
So
you need to have the exercise.
It strengthens our heart, our lungs, everything about us. As we walk, our breathing starts to synchronize with our motion. I've noticed as I'm running or walking, when I'm jogging, I take two steps as I'm inhaling and two steps while I'm exhaling. So it's totally true. Your breathing synchronizes with your motion. You experience a sense of expansion and freedom. Walking becomes more than just exercise. It can be a form of healing, removing our stress and replacing it with well-being. I love how that's worded. It's beautiful. I mean, really, if you think about it, as your lungs expand, you can breathe out all that stress. And it's actually been proven in a new scientific research that you actually are exhaling the fat that you burn when you're walking. So you are literally exhaling all of the bad things away. Because, I mean, there are most people in the world do not strive to be fat. So when you're walking, you are exhaling the calories and fat that you are burning with your breath. Which
mean I'm inhaling everybody else's fat?
Well, I've never thought of that. I hope not. Well, considering it goes into your lungs, not your stomach, I think you're okay. Because lungs don't pack
the
nutrients.
Okay. Just that visual, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of gross to think about. Like, imagine all these fat particles in the air as they're breathing. Oh, that's gross.
No wonder I have a weight problem. I'm around too many people.
Exactly.
Come up with a solitary diet.
There you go. But the article continues on even more deep thinking. It says, I think we would be hard-pressed to find a better win-win situation. By walking, we exercise our muscles and cardiovascular, improve our mental health, reduce stress, and support our overall wellness. Simply taking our shoes off seems to multiply those benefits by allowing us to synchronize with the Earth's natural electric charge. On an evolutionary level, this all makes complete sense. We evolved close to the Earth, and it's only relatively recently that we have been so keen to remove ourselves from nature. Perhaps it's time to take a step back, barefooted. And I love that. It's a lot of deep thinking, more than just what scientific research can show you through numbers. And just a little bit about the author, Dr. Isaac Elias. He is a lecturer, researcher, and clinical practitioner. He has been practicing integrative medicine, so using different types of treatments to fill your whole body with wellness, basically. He's been practicing since the 80s, and he practices his integrative medical approach towards health, immune enhancement, cancer prevention, and treatment. So this is somebody who knows what they're talking about. It's not just some dude sitting in his basement blogging about something he doesn't know anything about. It's scientifically backed up by the medical community and research. You know, as well as our anecdotes.
Definitely.
Of feeling better.
Mm-hmm. Although we don't have any basements in Florida, but I do agree.
Well, yeah, they kind of flood.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Your house is built on top of a swamp. Well, a drained
yeah.
swamp, but still. It's still a swamp.
But,
when it rains, it definitely turns back into a swamp.
I would agree. It's so good to see, you know, medical proof behind this. And it seems like, you know, in the modern society, we've got to the point where we think a pill can cure everything. And, you know, that's just not it. You know, with millions of years of your evolution and the way we've come forward, there's a lot more to it. Very important we take care of our bodies, you know, and exercise them. And our feet, and exercise them, and get them in touch with the ground.
Yeah. I've seen kind of like a joke laughing at how we're kind of going back to nature and back to kind of more ancient known cures in our medicine. And it's on healingwatersclinic.com. They have a history of medicine article that kind of pokes fun at it. And it says, history of medicine, 2000 BC, here, eat this herb. 1000 AD, that herb is heathen. Here, say this prayer. 1850 AD, that prayer is superstitious. Here, drink this potion. 1940 AD, that potion is snake oil. Here, swallow this pill. 1985 AD, that pill is ineffective. Here, take this antibiotic. 2000 AD, that antibiotic is artificial. Here, eat this herb. And it's, I think it's kind of funny because, you know, we're going back to how our ancient ancestors probably lived in terms of, you know, the paleo diet is really popular right now. The barefoot movement is well underway. People are starting to shun consumerism, live in smaller houses, starting to eat more natural food. Whereas, you know, when my parents and grandparents were kids, it was all about feeding your baby formula because that's scientifically developed to be perfect for your baby. If you look through cookbooks, the Better Home and Gardens cookbooks, I got a set of them from the 50s. It's all like canned meats and prepackaged things that they would make their recipes out of, and lots of Jell-O, which is weird. But we're kind of going back to before all of the scientific advancements, kind of realizing, hey, maybe, you know, I love that we're able to vaccinate against whooping cough and polio and measles and things that have killed millions and millions of children. But at the same time, increase our chances of living healthy, long lives by living in a natural way. And I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't vaccinate your child. Actually, in my opinion, you should, but I can't really make you. But it's something that you kind of have to find the balance of modern versus natural in terms of your health. And I think the attitude that John mentioned earlier of viewing shoes as tools perfectly captures the barefoot movement. We're not out here just to prove that we can go barefoot in minus 30 weather, in ice and snow, or in 120 degree Fahrenheit hot blacktop pavement for a whole day in Florida. We're doing this because it is better for you, and shoes don't give you those same benefits.
That is very true. And going back to the, you know, the living natural, it's like science has finally evolved to the point where it can recognize and understand what, you know, when they first did it, it was probably trial and error. You know, eat this herb and somebody died, we'll try this one, and they got healed. So, you know, now they're truly understanding why it's working. And that, to me, is the exciting part. You know, just like with grounding, you know, I've seen doctors say it's the best discovery since penicillin. And, you know, there may be controversy out there about it, but it just makes a lot of sense that we need to be connected to the earth. Why is every organ in your body connected through your feet? What's the purpose of that? There must be a purpose. And I truly believe that we need to be connected.
Exactly. There's a post that was posted in the Society for Barefoot Living yesterday by Len Stevens. He gave me permission to share it. It's something that he wrote, and I don't necessarily agree with everything that's in it, but it goes into kind of the mental and physical benefits of going barefoot. He says, we can take care of our feet by isolating them from the hazards and dangers of the world, just as we can protect ourselves by isolating ourselves and ensuring we never encounter anything that will harm us or challenge us or make us feel bad. Kind of like in Finding Nemo, where the dad says, Nemo, I'll never let anything happen to you. And Dory says, well, that's weird. Why would you do that? Nothing would ever happen to him. So So, you know, yeah, you can stick your feet in shoes and protect them from ever getting hurt. But when you do this, you become weak. We find the smallest injury a disaster, the mildest insult a tragedy. We lose the ability to relate to those around us and find their problems and joys beyond comprehension as we become more and more wrapped up in our own. The world outside becomes too tough to deal with and fraught with danger, and the less we venture out, the weaker we become and the more vulnerable we become to in relation to it. We descend a spiral that results in us living like a soft, white maggot in a dark, damp hole. A world we don't connect with can be seen in one of two ways. Either we don't care about it, or we feel impotent to affect it. Feet are the interface between us and the earth. They are our connection to the earth and the earth's connection to us. Shielded from the earth, the actual earth, immune from its rough vagaries and tenderness, we can ignore it or literally ride roughshod over it. In shoes, concrete and tarmac become your surface of choice. Like an agoraphobic prisoner in a world of our own creation, we stay within the man-made world or take the man-made world with us. To the shod, this beautiful planet feels like an insole. Do you wear earplugs for conversation? Do you wear gloves while making love? Every step is an interaction when your feet are naked. So what can you hear when you walk shoeless? Thorns say, leave this place alone. Sand says, come play. Stones say, pay more attention. Water says, go crazy. Turf says, run, baby, run. Broken glass, concrete, and gravel say, go rent a jackhammer and reform the society that's divorcing itself from the earth and would rather stay home. What do you hear when you are wearing shoes? Everything is all right. There's nothing to worry about. There are no problems here. Everything is not all right. The problems are monstrous. The planet is screaming at us. Just take off your shoes and listen. And I love this. I did edit it a little bit. There were parts I left out that weren't quite as relevant. But it's a beautiful thought that we can connect with the earth so easily. All you have to do is walk on the earth. I mean, how hard is that? Just step out your front door, go walk on your lawn. Is that hard? I mean, maybe if you live in a desert, but like, it's so easy. It's free. It's right there, you know. It's not something that drive to the gym to do or pay $1,000 to do. It's right here. It's free. And it's easy.
I couldn't agree more. I love that part about when they mentioned when you're wearing shoes, the world feels like an insole. I just thought that was, you know, written very well, very profound.
Yeah, it's definitely written by someone who understands the connection that you feel to the earth when earthing. What was it that our guest last week, she told us her difference between earthing and grounding. Do you remember what exactly she said? Because I can't remember at the moment. But it was really profound.
I don't remember the
deep.
Exact, but earthing, she described the grounding as the electrical part of it, the science behind why it's important to be connected to the earth. And you know, the earthing was more the spiritual side, you know, getting us back in touch, feeling better, just, you know, helping you mentally feel better. So I really liked that too. You know, I'm probably not doing her any justice, but just the comparison between the two was a great analogy.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was something I've never thought about before, that, you know, it's not just a physical benefit. There is definitely an emotional and almost spiritual benefit that is in addition to the physical benefits of going barefoot. And it's not something that everybody is going to be in tune to. You know, everybody's different. Everybody's brain works a little bit differently. So maybe what one person experiences as, you know, the relief of their chronic pain, a reduction in inflammation, less arthritis, it's not going to be, you know, the exact same experience as someone who feels mental rejuvenation and a spiritual connection with the earth, but it's from the same thing. And I think it's just so amazing that one simple thing you know, you're born barefoot if you just stay barefoot. You don't do anything to change your natural physical state. It has so many benefits and such a wide range of benefits, you know, like drinking water. You know, it's just as easy. It's just as accessible. It's just as natural. And it has so many, so many health benefits.
It's so true. And it to me, what amazes me is, yes, we're born barefoot, but yet there is such a push for shoes. People in society don't buy into the same thing all the time. As we were talking about diversity earlier, you know, think of all the, you know, the things that some people are into. Some people love to skydive. Some people would never do something like that. Some love the ocean and so forth. Some love tattoos. Some don't. But yet when it comes to shoes, it seems universal that there's so many people out there that have bought into it. It just really amazes me.
And that's why we are here to bring about the shift. So we do need to take another ad break. So we're going to have to cut this discussion off right here. We'll pick up when we come back. We have another article for you when we come back from tnation.com about barefoot running and training, some exercises you can do to increase your foot strength, basically, and lower body strength in general. And we were going to be joined by a guest, Trissa King, but she has let me know that she's not able to make it. We do welcome any callers that would like to call into the show. The number to call in is 347-324-3704. If you want to be on the air, press extension 1 so we know that you are there. So stay tuned. We will be right back with more about living barefoot for you.
As a prepper, facts mean life. It's a good idea to have the facts before you need them. We've got your answers at SurvivalCD.com. Hi, I'm Rich Fleetwood, founder of SurvivalRing.org, one of the oldest survival-oriented websites on the web, now in our 18th year. Survival Ring focuses on you, providing thousands of downloadable ebooks on survival preparedness and self-reliance information, all for free. Everything we offer online can be yours without spending weeks or months downloading and organizing every file yourself. We've created the Survival CD package made up of 14 multimedia discs, all easily accessed with any computer, with a DVD drive and web browser. Save time and get everything in a package that only takes up 1 inch of shelf space. When you prepare, you want to know history and what threats are most likely where you live. With over 30 gigabytes of preparedness and survival resources, Survival CD gives you everything in one wonderful package, full of useful, always needed, old-school knowledge for when the world gets a bit too crazy and out of control. Add to your plans and abilities with SurvivalCD.com's package of appropriate technology information, manuals, history, how-tos, and good old-fashioned American know-how. SurvivalCD.com, your family emergency preparedness digital library.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing. U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. Best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Welcome back. We're back on the air.
Welcome, welcome.
All right. We are going to now talk about the truth about barefoot training. And this is a rather extensive article, so we'll hit the high points and provide the link for you. But it says, here's what you need to know. Faulty foot and ankle
mechanics impact muscle function, mechanics, and joint health throughout the entire body. So it's not just your feet or your ankle you're affecting. It's the foundation. It affects your entire body all the way up. Number two, most shoes act as a crutch, thus contributing to foot and ankle dysfunction. So, you know, in other words, you're not exercising your foot. You're holding it in a specific position, and it becomes weak. And it's going to lead to dysfunction because it's not getting the proper amount of movement that it needs. Number three, barefoot and minimalist training is the ideal way to train and move, but your body must properly be prepared. Very important statement. This is where a lot of people fall down, I think. You have to make sure that you're properly preparing yourself and you go into it slowly, because if you continue to walk the way you do with shoes, you're probably going to do more harm than good. Number four, if you're unable to perform the majority of your activities in barefoot or minimalist conditions, then you have foot and ankle deficiencies. So it's pretty much a statement saying that if you're not going to do this, you know, you're going to have the weakness because you have that crutch. That crutch is not helping you. It is hurting in the long run. Number five, improving foot and ankle function will do wonders for movement mechanics, particularly in the hips and lower torso. And to me, the way I visualize this is, you know, you think about leverage. You know, when we learn about leverage with a long pole, you know, you move one end a slight bit and the other end, you know, moves a tremendous amount. You know, it's something that's multiplied and compounded as it goes up your body. You know, a slight change in the alignment of your foot by the time it gets up to your hips and torso can really cause some problems. And then number six, the feet and ankles are best trained with a variety of exercises that focus on stabilization and balance. So it's very important that you're training barefoot and that you're doing exercises that will focus on the, you know, balancing and keeping yourself stable. It's a very important thing. And it goes on, like I said, it's a very long article, so I only want to cover some of the high points. It goes on to talk about a decade ago, fitness initiated a trend in barefoot training, led to mass production of barefoot shoes. There was plenty of research that perpetuated this, but it was met with disaster after athletes, runners, and everyday gym goers began developing minor to severe injuries. Again, because they're not doing it right. Any exercise, you know, how many people have, I'm not a big exerciser, but the one thing I've learned over the years and is, you know, it's important to have a trainer. You know, if you go into a gym and try to exercise, you know what you're doing? You might as well stay at home usually. You have to do it correctly. And if you're not doing it correctly, you know, you can tend to do more harm than good. You know, there are people that overwork parts of their body. You know, you're supposed to alternate. You know, on one day you're doing cardio, the next day you're going to do weight training and so forth. But if somebody does like strict cardio every day or strict weight training every day, they will tend to cause, you know, injury and damage. So same here with the feet. Then enter the maximus trend. Oh, that's scary, isn't it? It's totally returning to normal. These same companies who previously advocated minimalist footwear began creating and marketing maximalist shoes. Rather than promoting natural foot activation, these maximus shoes, along with most other forms of footwear, provide enough support to allow a majority of the foot and ankle muscles to shut down, go into a state of semi-dormancy and inactivity.
I think that's really sad that that the athletic shoe basically industry, because they're not there to help us, they're there to make money. They're profit-driven companies. They see these as trends. So, like, oh, barefoot running's really popular. Let's make a bunch of barefoot shoes. Oh, now people aren't liking barefoot running anymore. Well, let's make shoes with extra tons of cushioning so that they, you know, can have that extra cushioning that they want. When really, all you need to do is be healthy is to pay attention to your body, you know. Any exercise you do, if you overdo it, you're going to be sore. You know, I overdo it. And now, very, you know, I pushed myself farther than what I normally do. Did an extra 35 minutes on my treadmill because it was nasty outside yesterday. But I am now in a crap ton of pain. And this is the same thing if you transition from wearing normal, I use normal with a grain of salt because it's conventional would be a better word, conventional running shoes to, you know, Vibram Five Fingers are probably the most popular example, or Zero shoes, bare bottom shoes. There's so many examples out there. But if you switch from all that support around your weak feet muscles to no support, that would be like going from walking half an hour a day to running for half an hour at 5 miles an hour. It's much more work for your muscles. Yes, it's the same amount of time, but it's harder work. Or it would be like, you know, going from walking upstairs to doing a squat machine with weights on it. It's more work. Yes, it's the same physical movement, but it's more work. It's going to make you feel pain from overworking the muscles. And that's why it's so important to transition into walking barefoot. Or even if you're wearing shoes, you have to transition into wearing those. You know, you've heard the term breaking in shoes, because it takes time for your feet to adjust to being in this unnatural setting. But when you've been in that unnatural setting for so long, your muscles kind of get lazy, kind of like when you're wearing a cast. If you have a broken arm, take off the cast and your arm's all skinny and pale and weird looking compared to your other arm, because the muscles haven't been used. The same thing happens in shoes. There are so many muscles and bones and joints and nerve endings in your feet that aren't being used when you wear shoes. And I think that really makes me sad about the maximalist shoes, because it's not designed to help people. It's designed to make profits.
Exactly. And the maximalist shoes, or any shoes for that matter. And what's even sadder is, you know, when you have a cast on your arm, you're usually taking care of, you know, like one break or something. You know, on your feet, you have all these bones and ligaments and, you know, all of the sensory elements that are there that you just shut down. You know, you're literally putting it in a cast. That's really all a shoe is a cast. And, you know, why do you want to take all that movement and completely eliminate it? Just doesn't make sense. Your article goes on to say, the solution, the feet, ankles, and toes need to be trained like any other part, body part. In fact, you could argue they require even greater emphasis, considering most individuals wear shoes that limit, constrict, and bind their feet, as we were just saying, into an unnatural position, ultimately promoting dysfunction of the lower extremity. And as was mentioned earlier and above, it's not just the lower extremity. It goes all the way up your body. You know, the old, everything's connected, you know, leg bones connected to the foot bone and all that fun stuff. It affects all the way up, but especially your feet. It's really critical to make sure you're paying the correct attention to them.
Exactly. I'm gonna cut you off there for a moment, John. I have my brother with me here today. He's studying to be an athletic trainer, and he would like to come on the air and just talk about why muscle training is so important and how that can affect your overall athletic performance. He's taking his licensing exam for being able to practice with athletic training next week. So he's done quite a fair amount of studying on this topic. His name is Hunter, and I'm super happy to have him here with me today. Hi, Hunter.
Hi. Well, first of all, sneakers, they're great for people who, you know, like, feet protection is good. They are tools, as we said earlier in the program. And just like any tool, there is a proper use. The difference is that especially one of the classes I had to take in addition to this athletic training stuff was a zoological class. And in it, they were talking about the evolution of the bone structure of the feet. And the closer you get to mammals, the more they're meant for the wear and tear. And especially when we start to see this change when we get to humans, there are all these bony structures and these muscles and ligaments that are tied in that are meant to provide the support. Maybe part of the reason people don't like walking barefoot or running barefoot, as I prefer to run barefoot. It makes me feel more natural. I drive barefoot. I'm not really one of the earther movement, though. I don't really consider myself part of that. But one thing is that when you don't exercise, it's not that your muscles don't grow anymore. It's that you begin to suffer what is called muscular atrophy. When you're not exercising your muscles in the correct way, when you're not exercising them enough, if there's not enough resistance, then you lose what you had before. You'll lose those foot muscles if you're not exercising barefoot. They won't be as strong. That's why there's not as good, probably some of the best arch support is just exercising your feet. There are simple stretches you can do. And a lot of the this muscle training is in part being in tune to your body. And I think the barefoot community especially is really embracing this being in tune with your body. Too much in society, we have this idea that whenever we feel a little hurt or just a little uncomfortable, we have to take a pill for that. But no, when we're in pain after exercising, our body is telling us that it's repairing itself, that we've gone a little bit too far maybe, we've exercised a little too much. And that's pretty much what exercising your muscles is. It's stretching, tearing slightly the formation of the muscles so that the adhesions that your muscles have formed go away. And so when we're doing this, when you're running barefoot, the soleus, the various muscles that are in your foot that would not traditionally be stretched as much in the sneakers are now being stretched and they're being exercised. And so it's very important that I would say running barefoot is actually quite beneficial and it's helpful because you're exercising your muscles and preventing muscular atrophy from setting in, which would make it even harder in the future to run barefoot.
Well, thank you for those insights, Hunter. It's great to hear from someone who has training basically, about how the muscles in the feet work or don't work when you're wearing shoes. And Hunter, you mentioned some exercises that you can do to increase your feet. And I love that you mentioned that because the TNation.com article that John was talking about actually has some exercises you can do in order to increase your foot strength, how to fix ankle and foot pronation, supination, which is where your foot isn't totally in line with where it should be, like leaning in, leaning out, and how to get proper foot mechanics, basically. But some of the articles, exercises that it recommends, is to manipulate your toes, feet, and ankles into proper alignment. They call it a standing foot mechanics drill. And again, for more detailed explanations of these, you can always go to the article. There's a link to it in our freedomizerradio.com chat room It's the TNation.com article, Truth About Barefoot Training. But it's got videos of all the exercises to do. But it's, you know, focusing on your posture, making sure your ankles have more weight on the outside of your feet because that's the stronger part, pressing the base of your big toes into the floor. That will help engage the muscles of your toes and your arches, which will strengthen your feet. They also recommend spreading your toes out as far as possible and then squeezing them back together, kind of like how you do with your fingers, like if you spread your fingers apart and then bring them back together, do that with your toes. They also recommend toe curls. You stand up and then curl your toes into the floor, like you, if you were squishing mud between your toes. They also have one called uniform stabilization. They recommend you close your eyes while you're trying to do these balance tasks because it increases the difficulty by challenging the proprioceptors in your feet. Proprioceptors, again, are basically the signals your feet are sending back to your brain about spatial awareness. And that's what proprioception does. It gives you basically spatial awareness from your nerve endings, messages to your brain. So they recommend doing just standing on one foot to try to balance and then switch back and forth between which foot you're standing barefoot on. And then eventually work up to standing on one foot while doing overhead presses with weights. And eventually, they've got more single leg weight exercises that look super duper challenging, actually. But it's great foot exercises, basically. One that I could do doesn't have weights attached to it. Single leg stand with partner perturbation, where you hold a medicine ball or like a big exercise ball. Stand on one foot, pass it back and forth with a partner. And it says, recent research has demonstrated the effectiveness of perturbation training for working the core, proprioceptors, and stabilizers of the body. This technique can be applied to any muscle group. However, it lends itself exceptionally well to stabilization training of the ankles and feet. So I love that. They also recommend doing squats on one of those balancing balls. Their Bosu balls is one of the brands. So basically, it's like a half of a ball, the top half of a ball on the floor. You try to balance on it and then do squats on that with your eyes closed is one it recommends. I don't really think I would be capable of doing that. It looks scary. But there's lots of other exercises you can do in there. But as Hunter said, the single best and easiest exercise is to run barefoot. You're getting your cardio, you're getting your muscle tone, and you're working all of the muscles in your feet. You know, you're going to be deep breathing, increasing your lung capacity, oxygen circulation. It's going to be great. Basically working your whole body.
I would agree.
Anything you want to add to that, John?
Yes, is Hunter still with you?
Yes, he is. You want me to put him back on?
I just want to thank him. I thought that was great that he came in with the knowledge that he's been learning. I did. You said he was your brother, correct? Did I catch that correctly?
Yes. Yeah, that's my brother.
So I can imagine the influence you must have had on him. In addition to the running barefoot, he said driving barefoot. Is he living any other part? Hunter, are you living any other part of your life barefoot?
So you wanted to know if I do anything else barefoot? Other than driving and, I kind of walk around my house barefoot. I don't know. For me, I've never really had a problem with shoes. I try to run barefoot, and I do walk a lot barefoot. Personally, I find shoes an inconvenience a lot of the time. I am really into shoes that lace up and feel tight around my feet, but those take forever, and when you're in a hurry, that's kind of hard. So walking barefoot, definitely I do lots of that, but I'm Canadian, so I take my shoes off in my house. Cultural thing we do up here. But other than that, no, I can't really think of anything I do without shoes other than just walking, driving, running.
Okay. I was just curious, you know, with Sierra as your sister, you know, what influences she had there. But at the running and the driving, that's definitely definitely something that's helping, as you mentioned, too, and you know. And thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Always great to have my little brother on the show. He's joined me a few times before.
Yes, he's got a lot of good information. It's good that he's actually studying this and understanding. You know, you can read it all the time, but having somebody that's truly involved is always good.
Exactly. And having that knowledge basis, hopefully he'll also be able to help his future clients with their overall muscle tone, especially from the ankles down. So it's really the most neglected body part in terms of exercise.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Even aside from unmentionable body parts.
Yeah, we better stay away from that.
there are exercises you can do for those, but that's not our topic.
that's
what BuzzFeed's for.
Leave that to another show.
Yeah. We are coming to the end of our slot for our show, so we do need to wrap up. It's been super great discussing these topics, lots of great insights from the articles about how to train barefoot, health benefits, and the pros and cons of challenging your feet for Lego challenges and the Tom's Day Without Shoes. I'm really glad we touched on that with it having been this week, because I think a lot of people seem to think that Tom's is doing a good thing, and I'm sure in their minds they think they are, but I'm sure new research will come out that in the future the kids who live barefoot they don't really have a problem. And I read somewhere online that the kids who sometimes get shoes donated to them have them on, you know, for the promotional whatever when they bring them, and then as soon as they leave they throw them away and go barefoot again.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know, part of me hopes it's true. I mean, it's kind of sad, but yeah.
Yeah. That,
I mean, if they want shoes, I guess they have right to access to them, but.
Exactly. You know, and they should have them for the tools when they need them, but that's it. You know, again, going back to they are tools. Use them when you need to. Otherwise, you know, they've done studies. They've shown people in societies that don't wear shoes, their feet are in way better condition than ours. You know, ours meaning as a general population, the Western-style population that wears shoes, not
exactly.
Ours as the people that are going barefoot, hopefully. But, but you know, it is the only thing to benefit I see out of it is there are people that have done it, and then they're after doing it, decided, hey, I want to try this. I've heard of those stories as well, too, as far as going barefoot. But I agree. I'm on the fence with that one as well. You know, I'm kind of you could wear shoes, but why, you know, so, you know, and I was kind of doing a play on your article I saw out there where you were kicked out of a, shoe store
I was buying dress shoes for my son, and they're like, you can't be in here without shoes on. Like, well, wouldn't you want people who don't have shoes to come in your store and buy some? But no,
that's funny.
Yeah, but we do need to wrap up. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you tune in next week. Next week, we are going to be talking about how to relieve joint pain, especially knee pain, how to be barefoot more often in your life, and we're also going to talk about the pros and cons of some new developments in the shoe industry. These will actually make things better for us, or if it's still just another gimmick to make them money. So make sure you tune in next week. Thank you, everyone who listened via Blog Talk Radio, Freedomizer Radio, and by calling in. Tune in next week for your great topics. Stay barefoot. Stay happy. Americans, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Stay safe. don't drink and drive, all that good stuff. All right, signing out now. Take care.
All right.